Hello, Jim and Janice. How are you all doing? We miss you. God bless. We'll do. Alright. If you want to turn to Daniel, the 12th chapter, the 8th through the 10th verse. Where are you turning there? Let me say to you, as your pastor and as someone who believes in you, I do believe in you. You understand that. I hope you know that this morning. I'm proud of my church. I really am. I'm very proud of my church. God has a purpose for each and every individual that has a seat on these pews here this morning. You understand that? God has a purpose for you. How else could we answer these questions? How else could we answer them? You know, like this. Why is God still here? Why is God still in this church this morning? Why is God still on the saving business? If He did not have a purpose for His church, right? Why are we still teaching and preaching the same Word of God that was being taught and preached years ago? Why? Because God still has a purpose. Amen? Why are we still pressing on? What are we doing that for? You know what? It'd be easy just to give it. Why are we doing it? Because God still has a vision. God has a purpose for us. Amen? He does. Why are we still living and believing and holding on to and teaching our children these same things and doing these things and trying to let them know that, you know what, there is something to serving a true and a living God, because God still has a purpose and a vision for our children and for us. Let's do not forget that. Amen? Could it be that we have gotten a hold of something that is far bigger and greater than maybe sometimes we can understand? I believe it is. I believe and believe that with all my heart that we have got a hold. If you know Jesus is living in your heart, you know just exactly what I'm talking about. Could it be that there is an eternal purpose? Could it be? And the eternal purpose for this church and many like it around this area. We have a purpose. Nothing happens by coincidence, does it not? Nothing does. I don't believe it does, either for the good or for the bad. Nothing happens by coincidence, brothers and sisters. We're all here for a greater purpose. Now, over in Daniel, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 8th through the 10th verse, it says, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then, and he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many, it says there, shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Let us pray. Father, as I come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart. Again, Lord. Father, you are so good to us. We praise you. We praise you and thank you for your Son, Jesus. We praise you and thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Word. Father, I pray this morning that we could get me out of the way, Lord. And let's preach, Lord, this morning the way that you would have it. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. And amen. Notice Daniel said that the things that he was seeing, a vision, was not to be seen in times. Did you notice what he said? Part of what I read these words was not going to be seen till the end times, right? Also notice today, you know what we had to, what was being taught here this morning, what was being talked about and discussed, and everything that they're teaching this morning goes right along with what I want to preach. I want the end time church is what I want to preach to you about. And I want you to know something this morning. I believe we are part of the end time. Pick out a time and tell you this and that, but no. Because no man knows the hour or the time which the Lord does. Not even Jesus knows the time, the Bible tells me. Only the Father Himself knows. And I want you to know something this morning. We are part of the end time church. We are. And I believe that. And I want you to know, and that the wise would understand these things. It's what He's told us. Folks, I believe we are living in what this church will be like in the last days. And what it should be like. And I believe God intended His church to be full of power, to be full of glory. And I believe He intended His church to be that way. I believe that, brothers and sisters, being in the end time church that we are in, I believe that the church should be full of power and glory. Amen. I don't believe He intended His church to be the tail, but I believe He intended His church to be because of who we are. Amen. Ephesians 5:23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body." Galatians 4:7. "God through Christ." I think it's time that the church starts acting like a child of the living King instead of an heir. Amen? I believe that. We have to answer. We have the answers for this struggling world that we live in, do we not? I believe as well, from standing here this morning and preaching to your ears this morning, we have the answers to what the world is looking for. We have those answers. Drug and alcohol abuse. New. Broken families. We have the answers to that. Amen, we do. Sexual addictions. We have the answers to that. Teenagers and young adults out of control. Seemingly out of control. We have the answers to that. That answer lies in Jesus Christ. Our answer to that, and it's in Jesus Christ. But it doesn't work. Look at this world we live in. It doesn't work. They may do what they want to, they may say what they want to, but it does not work. Brothers, I'm not standing up here bragging. I brag on Jesus, the answer is that it's in Him. And it's in Him that this world is facing. Amen, we've got Him. And it's just setting back. And we're wringing our hands, and we're wondering, what are we going to do? I know what we can do. I know what we can do. We can give it to Jesus. Let them give them Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I want you to step back and wringing our hands. Just off one week. Well, you know what we got to do? First off, brothers and sisters, as a church, and as a church body, and as a church out here in this world, we cannot compromise. The latter day church that we are in right now, the church that we are in, the church that could be called up any moment to go to heaven to be with our Lord's sake, amen? There's too much at stake. It will not do it. Proverbs 28:13, he that covers his sin shall not prosper. And you know what? But whosoever confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy in their lives. This not only goes to individuals that are in this church, it also goes to our government, it goes to anybody, it is churches and all across this land. If we try to make prosper, we cannot prosper. God is not going to allow that. It will not do it. God did not intend for the church to look and act like the world. He did not intend that, did He not? God never said, it says over in 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore, come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Yes, we are living in the last days. We are. Yes, we are. And you know, church needs a clear vision. The church needs clear sight. They need clear vision. Amen? We need it. There's no doubt in my mind. That's why we said, I've heard the saying that the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Have you ever heard that saying? And you know what's sad? There's too many churches that are helping them carry it, grabbing it right by the hand. We cannot, let's not compromise on sin. We can't do that. It's too much at stake. Too many souls are hanging in the balance. And I heard it said here this morning whenever the teaching brothers said, what's wrong is wrong. That is so much better than trying to pass a compromise on this. Amen. There cannot be no compromise. I believe in God intended the body of Christ to be leading and being the light that's... Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. I believe Drift Run Church could be that too. I believe that. I believe we are. And I believe that we need to continue. We need to stay a hold of that. We need to do that. When we come to church, we're going to come expecting God's power and His Holy Spirit to be in our services. Amen. I'm looking for it. When we get here, I want us to come here expecting it. Amen? I want us to do that. I want us to, we will not be satisfied. We come to church and put it on a big check. Oh, I come to church. Check. I've done that. I don't want that. And I know you don't either. We come to church, we come expecting God's power to be here. God's Spirit to be here. And you know what? Come expect we'll flood this church service whenever we get here. That's what we need. We will not be satisfied with just having church. There are too many churches that are satisfied with dead, dry worship. And I do not want to be one of them. Amen? Too many churches satisfied with not inviting God into the worship services, right? There's too many of them that's doing that nowadays. What do you think Daniel? Daniel was a wise man. He was a man that was enlightened of God, right? But he didn't understand what was going to happen in the latter days. The end time church was not supposed to be cold and weak. It's not supposed to be, and dry, timid, afraid, and backwards. Why do we, as a church body, serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, have to be timid and weak about anything? We don't. I tell you what, we serve a living God. There's a lot of them out here that do not. We serve a living God. The New Testament church that we are part of made devils tremble, did it not? Amen. It made them tremble. Drove legions of demons into the ocean overnight in Matthew 8:28. It prayed open prison doors. Amen. I'll tell you what, it turned cities upside down. Amen. That's what it did. In fact, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Let them do what they will. Let them try to tear the church down. Let them try to take Jesus' name and drag it through the mud. Nothing that they do or form together will have any effect on us, because we are the church of the living God. I'll tell you what Jesus tells Peter in Matthew 16:18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And you know what he goes on to say? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I want you to know, no matter what they try to do, hell's gates is not going to come open against the true and living church of our living God. It will not happen. I'm here to tell you that I believe the end time church will be stronger. It'll be more resourceful. I believe it'll be better equipped. I believe it's better organized and better prepared than what our fathers even had. You know, so you say, why? Listen, we have so much at our fingertips. We have the internet. We have television. We have so much stuff to read about the Word of God. And you know what? We've got so much that we can use. And I believe the end time church can be so much better and so much better prepared if we just let the Holy Spirit guide us. We can't do it with just mind knowledge. There's so much mind knowledge out there. But it takes the Spirit of God to deal with us and to use that knowledge, because the time is short. Haggai 2:9 says, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord. I want you to know, the former things were great. People got saved. But we're living in the last days now, even closer to the time of our appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, as we do that, I believe the church will become stronger and better if we just hold on to Jesus until He gets here. We want to see our loved ones saved. We want to see the cities turned upside down. We want to see the devils tremble in hell. Praise God. We've got to believe and hang on to what Jesus Christ wants us to hang on to. The latter will be better than the former. And I believe that it will. That's what Daniel was talking about there. Can I say God always saves the best one for last? Can I say that? Because I believe that. You remember when they were at the feast and the first miracle we did? You know what? And then when they drank that wine, they come back and said, well, you've given the best one. You saved the best for last. Why do you do that for? Because why? Because I believe that the last is going to be better. Amen? I believe it is. We Latter-day Christians have been called for such a time as this. We are prepared. We are called for such a time as we're living in. We are prepared. We are the ones that can get the job done. And I believe we can. Just like the scripture in Daniel this morning that said certain prophetic truths, certain of them, were locked up, only to be revealed in the latter days. And I believe that they are going to be. And I believe they are being revealed in this day we live in. I believe that our God will pour out His Spirit on His people. He tells us to enlighten their understanding. He tells us He will do that. Even more for the task that is at hand. He will do that. We have so much. With the Holy Spirit's guidance and its direction, brothers and sisters, we can do what God wants us to do. We can do that. God's people in the last day are going to be better understood. We're going to be better understood. Even Daniel, with all his divine wisdom, I told you, could not understand what he saw, but we will. I believe we will. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the thing which God has prepared for them that love Him, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's how we find those things. That's how we get into the deep Word of God. That's how we get into the deep spiritual truth. It's through the Spirit of God dealing with us and showing us. But we've got to be willing to step up. The end time church understands that the Word of God is to be fully preached. Amen? We do this, of course, as church, as the church under attack today. We do it as the church is under attack today. We do that. Listen. They say the church, but Peter told us the gates of hell would not prevail against it, right? Let them attack it. Let them do that. Let them try as they will. No power on this earth is going to be able to slow down the church of the living God. You know what? You remember back whenever Jesus was crucified and how all the people right then at that time, they were taken and tormented and tortured and all the things they did to try to get them not to disavow Christianity. And I want you to know it did not work. Christianity spread because of those people that were put under torment and torture. And I want you to know, as the latter days approach, let them come against the church. Let them come and try to take it down, because it will grow. It will get stronger until the time that he comes back to get it. Amen? It will do that. Let them try as they will. No power on this earth will be able to ever ignore what the Spirit of God is being done. It will not be able to. When the Word of God is fully taught and preached, I want you to know, with power and gifts, like we know that he was talking about, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of men, wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. The gates of hell were shaken, people's lives were touched. Things happened whenever Paul and those preachers of old in the Bible preached the Word of God in spirit and in power, was it not? And it can still be done that way today, I believe, and it will be that way. Are we up to the task? That's what I want to ask. Can we be it if we have to be? Can we do what the task calls? If we start letting the Holy Spirit work daily in our lives, Zechariah 4:6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen? Amen. Yes, God has a vision for our church. He does. We are not a vagabond church. We're not that. He never intended it to be a vagabond church, wandering around without a purpose. We have a purpose. Amen? We have been called to go out into the highways and byways and to compel them to come into our house, into God's house. Listen, 1 Peter 2:9, 10. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. I tell you what, amen, and praise God. That is us, folks. There's no doubt in our mind, that is us. And I'll tell you what, we are a royal priesthood. We've got something that we can hang on to. We've got something that world's out there searching for. We've got it. We've got to get them to realize that we have the answers. We've got it. But let the lost world know that there is a place that they can come to. They can find purpose. That they can find reason for their lives. They really do. Have you ever seen it like it is today, where it seems like so many seem like they're so down, depressed, without purpose, without reason? Have you ever seen that? I don't know, maybe it's just me seeing it, but I can see that in people's lives that I've dealt with. Right here at Drift Run Church, brothers and sisters, I'm not bragging, because I know it's not of men, it's because of the one that we serve. Amen? We will be a praying church. Amen? We will do that because we know prayer works. We know it works. Amen? Not because it's the right thing to say at the right time or the appropriate time, because the power lies in the prayer of his people. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Listen, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. I want you to know, where two or three are gathered together in his name, he said, I will be in the midst. And praise God, I want you to know, if you want things shaken up, you get on your knees and you pray. We need to be a praying church at all times. Pray without ceasing. Prayer can shake things up. And we need more of that now more than ever, do we not? We need it. It can make the blind see. Prayer can make the lame walk. Prayer can cause the deaf to hear. And brother, God knows that the lost need to hear. They need to see. And brother, they need to walk and come unto him. Amen? And it's through prayer that we can do that. Amen. We can do it. Without vision, the people will perish. That's what my Bible tells me. And I tell you what, the great thing about prayer, brothers and sisters, the great thing about it is you don't have to be an eloquent speaker. We don't have to be that. It just has to come from the heart, amen? That's where it has to come from. You don't have to be somebody who can stand up here and speak great, eloquent prayers. Over in Luke, the 18th chapter. Over in Luke 18, 9 through 14. And you know what it's talking? Jesus said unto him, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as others, are extortionists, unjust, adulterers, or even as the publicans. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Brother, how much clearer could God, how much clearer could he make it? If it comes from the heart, and prayer does, and if it's just two or three gathered together in his name, he said he would be in the midst, just imagine what all of us could do if our hearts, our souls, and our mind are on to one subject, into one thing, and praying for that. You don't think things can't be shaken? I believe it can be shaken. I can believe it. We need to be a church that's worshiping and praising, a praising church. Like it says in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. I'll tell you what, when we worship God and we come in this place, I'll tell you what, we come in here with praise and worship on our lips. That's how we come in here. That's why we should come in here. I'll tell you what, I know. I've come to church before, not just here at other places, I've come to church before just grumbling in my head, just thinking within myself, grumbling and saying, well, this and saying that. And you know what I get out of that service? This. We come to this church expecting God to move. Come here praising and worshiping when we come. I want you to know something. God will honor us. He will do that. Oh, Daniel. When he said that, he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. I want you to know, we are in the end times. I believe it. We are there. And the church that we are in, Drift Run Church or any other church around here, the whole church of the living God, I want you to know, brothers, that this is the end time church. It has been since Christ left this earth. We're living in the end time church. And brothers and sisters, I believe it's closer than it ever was. I believe it. And I believe Drift Run Church, brother and sister, we continue to do what we're doing. Continue to hang in there. Keep going on. Keep going on. I want you to know something. God's going to do good things. He will do good things if we're in one mind and one accord. And we need to do that. Whenever we do it, I want you to know, brother and sister, there's nothing going to stop us. Nothing. Man ain't going to do it. And I believe if God's on our side, if God be for us, what? Who can be against us? Amen. If they come and get a song.